Erevin Davav. We are on the bottom of Hamad Beis. We are continuing our discussion regarding a Mavui. The beginning of Maseches Erevin deals specifically with the halachas of a Mavui. A Mavui, as we already discussed since the beginning of this parak, is where you have an alleyway where there are houses that open up into a courtyard, and subsequently those courtyards are opened up into a Mavui, and then the Mavui is opened up into Rishus Rabin. As we have already discussed, a Mavui Minotaur is a Rishus Yachid. It is circumscribed by three walls. The fourth side is opened in its entirety to the Rishus Rabin, and that means that with the three wall surrounding the Mavui, it is a Rishus Hayachid Minotaur. Therefore, Minotaur, one would be allowed to carry within the area of the Mavui. However, the Chachamim were concerned over the fact that it is opened up into a Rishus Rabim, and the fourth side of the Mavui is opened in its entirety into Rishus Rabim. So therefore, in order to carry within the Mavui, so it requires a tikkun, it requires a correction. As we already discussed in the beginning of this parak, either a lechi or a korah. Lechi, a vertical pole, korah, a horizontal beam going across the front. In yesterday's daf, we went over many details regarding this korah. So this horizontal beam that goes over the cross of the top of the entrance of the Mavui. So the Mishnah tells us that it can't be higher than 20 amos. And in yesterday's daf, we went over a number of halachas where what happens if it exceeds above 20, what happens if it's below 20. And yesterday we touched on the issue of what if there is a breach on the side of the wall of the Mavui. In our discussion, the beginning of today's daf, we continue along the lines of discussing what happens when there is a breach in the wall of the Mavui. And we are picking up where we left off yesterday on the bottom of Hamad Beis, two lines from the bottom. Amar Rav Chanin Bar Rava, Amar Rav Mavui Shenifra. So let's say I have a Mavui where there's a breach in the Mavui. And as we now turn to the top of Vav Amud Aleph, Mitzido Be'eser. If the breach takes place on the side of the Mavui, so then an allowance of 10 amos in that breach and the Mavui would still be good. Meaning up to 10 amos, may rosho, but if the breach is in the front of the Mavui, b'arba'ah, so then a breach is only allowable if it's 4 tefachim, but once it's 4 tefachim or above, so then that breach is going to disqualify, invalidate the Mavui. Now, when we're talking about the front of the Mavui, what are we talking about over here? How could there be a breach in the front of the Mavui? Haven't we been assuming up until now that the opening of the Mavui is opened entirely to the Rishus HaRabim? And how could we be talking about a breach on the front of the Mavui? The whole area is breached. Take a look at Rashi over here, Rashi, second Rashi in the Amud. Rashi writes, Me Rosho Shaya Mavui Rachav Chaf Amma. So Rashi says, I'll give you an example, where the entire opening of this fourth side to the Rishus HaRabim is 20 amos in total. Visasmo Eser Amos. And so what you have to do is you have to now be sosim. You have to start building a wall in order to narrow the gap that opens to the front. This goes back to the first Mishnah, where we learned in the first Mishnah of our Perek that if the opening of the Mavui exceeds 10 amos, so then what you have to do is you have to actually make wall in order to minimize the size. So, v'nifritza pirtza b'osostima. And so now, on our side of the Mavui, the entrance of the Mavui that's facing the Rishus HaRabim, so therefore we had to close it up with walls. So now there are actual walls facing the Rishus HaRabim, and in these walls, so there is a breach. Here, in the breach that faces the Rishus HaRabim, so up to 4 tefachim, but no more than 4 tefachim, meaning to say that once the breach exceeds more than 4 tefachim, so then it is going to be disqualified. And the Gemara's question now is the obvious question. So, So the Gemara says, I don't understand. So when we're talking about on the side of the Mavui, so we're allowing up to 10 amos, and the reason is Damar Pischahu, because we're going to say that up to 10 amos is just simply an entrance to get into the Mavui. So Miroshanami, name a Pischahu. So why don't we say the same thing from the front of the Mavui, and why don't we call it a Pesach? And so as much as we're calling the side of a Mavui, and any breach that's up to 10 amos is not a breach, but rather an entrance, say the same thing by the front of the Mavui as well. Amar Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua Kagon Shenifretz Bekaren Zavis. So the Gemara says, yes, you're right. In other words, the argument is an extraordinarily strong argument. And as much as we're going to call it a Pesach on this side, we will also call it a Pesach in the front as well. And over here, when we're saying that four tefachim is going to disqualify, that's talking about where it's in the front corner. And that means to say that there's no longer a corner recognizable to the Mavui. And we do not see the wall coming all the way to the end, but rather there's a breach right there in the corner. And the Gemara says, "De pischa b'keren zavis lo avdi inshi," because it is more difficult to call that area an entrance. An entrance comes from the side. An entrance comes from the front. Meaning entrances typically are somewhere in the middle of a wall. But to put an entrance on the corner, that's atypical. And so therefore, the Gemara says that there it no longer can be called or serviced as an entrance. And once a breach is four tefachim or above, so then it is not going to work. Tosfos writes over here, Tosfos divar amaslo de pischa bekeren zavos lav de inshi miu im asa kein pesach ben mezuzah samashkov havi shaper pesach kedemar la'el de pesach lay the pasach lay bekeren zavos. So Tosfos says, yes, it's true that in the corner it is not going to be considered Pesach, but Tosfos says, but consider. If let's say we had the doorpost, let's say we had a lentil going over the top, even though that occurred in the corner, that would in fact be considered Pesach, because Tosfos says, we have to remember what we just learned in yesterday's daf. Yesterday's daf, if you remember, we had a configuration of a mavui, where the sides were only four tefachim. The back wall, remember, has to be less than four tefachim because we learned yesterday that the shape of a mavui has to be rectangular in nature and the sides have to exceed the back wall and the front wall. And so that means to say that if the sides are four tefachim, the back wall is going to be less than four tefachim. And the Gemara wanted to know, we also have a halacha that we went over yesterday that a mavui is only going to be considered a mavui when you have two chatziris open up into the mavui. So I need two entrances. So if I have the side walls being a maximum of four tefachim, how am I creating two entrances going in? So the answer that the Gemara proposed yesterday is that we're talking about the two entrances that cut into the corner, into the back corner. And if you have two entrances cutting into the back corner, so that is going to serve as your entrances to the chatziros. So Tosfos notes, it's pretty clear from yesterday's Gemara, that you can create a Pesach in the corner. And meanwhile, our Gemara in today's daf says you can't create a Pesach in the corner. So Tosfos says the difference must lie in the fact that in yesterday's daf we were talking about it had a Tzuras of Pesach. In today's daf, it did not have a Tzuras of Pesach, and therefore Tosfos walks away with the conclusion that even in the corner, if there's a Tzuras of Pesach, it will operate as a Pesach even in the corner. We go back to the Gemara, we're continuing the Gemara, and so we have now so far stated that if I have a breach on the side of the Mavui, but it is not 10 Amos wide, it's not a breach, it's a Pesach. And the same thing is true in the front. And as far as Tfachim is concerned, that only will disqualify in the corner. That is the position that is stated up until now. Rav Huna disagrees. The first halacha was said over in the name of Rav Chanan bar Rava. The Gemara now quotes B'Shem Rav Huna. Rav Huna Amar Echadzev Echadzev Ba'arba. No, in both cases, as a breach on the front or a breach on the side is in fact going to disqualify the Mavui even at four Tfachim. V'chein Amar Le Rav Huna Rav Chanan bar Rava. And Rav Huna says to Rav Chanan bar Rava, Lo tiflag alai, don't argue with me. The Rav Yikol Adam Charya, because I'm telling you that Rav went to the town of Dam Charya, Vavruv de Kavasi, and he passed like I did, meaning there was a Mavui, it had a breach, the breach was only four tefachim wide, and yet Rav disqualified that Mavui. So you can't argue with me, because I know that Rav follows like my position, and there's an assumption that Rav's position is in fact the accepted position. So I'm related to Rav Chanan, says back to Rav Huna, Rav Bika Matzah, Vigadar Bagadar. No, that's not a good example. It's a terrible example. In that particular case in Damcharia, so what Rav found over there is that the people of Damcharia were not that careful about halacha. Rav therefore felt that as an extra precaution, he's going to be machmir, meaning he's not following the baseline halacha, he's following a chumra over there. Rashi writes, Bika Matzah, Amei Ha'aratzim Hayu, that the people of Damcharia were people that were not learned. Umizazlam be mitzvos, and on top of that, they weren't that careful about mitzvos. V'hichmir aleim le'asos siag l'archikam min ha'avera. And what Rav did is Rav just simply served as a chumrah. So in other words, normally up to 10 amos, it's considered a Pesach, and that would have been fine, and their mavi would have been fine. But the reason why Rav went above and beyond and disqualified their mavi, even though the breach on the side was only for tefachim, is because he felt that they needed this extra. These extra chumas. Ka'adam ha'goder bika, prutza l'shomra. It's like a person who his fence starts collapsing, there are breaches in the fence, and so what he's got to do is he's got to buttress, he's got to fix up the fences in order to create more protection around the fences. So Rav felt that in the town of Damcharia, if he imposes these extra chumas, so that will get them to be more cautious and more careful about Shabbos. Obviously, just to state the obvious, if it happens to be that the people of Damcharia would not have cared whatsoever about what Rav had to say, So then presumably Rav would not have imposed it, but obviously Rav realized that if he goes in there and he starts getting serious about halacha, and even though he's going to be an additionally machmir than what normally would take, so then the people of Damcharia would, so to say, they would fall back in line. Anyway, what we have over here in the Gemara is a machlokus in terms of what is considered a pirsa regarding a mavui. So the position of Chanan is that anything up to 10 amos, it's a pesach, it's not a pirsa. From 10 amos and above, now it's considered a pirsa. And the only time that four tefachim becomes significant is only in the corner. Meanwhile, Rav Huna is of the position that four tefachim, regardless of where it is in the mavui, is going to be considered a pirsa, disqualifying the mavui. And he uses Rav as a support, but that is debatable because it's not clear whether Rav was following the baseline halacha or he was just being machmir. Continuing in the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Kavasid Rav Huna Mestabra. So Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says, look, I think logically we can argue Rav Huna's position. Ditmar, based on the following mavui akum. So the Gemara over here is going to be talking about a bent mavui. Now, in order to understand this, so first of all, just in terms of the picture, over here is actually pretty straightforward. You can see a schematic in Rashi, and if you have any kind of pictorial aid, so I highly recommend it. But basically, it's pretty straightforward over here, and that is that a mavui is making a 90-degree turn. It is an L-shaped mavui. Now, let's go over some very basic information before we see the Gemara inside, and that is the following. We basically have two types of mavuis that we've been discussing since day one of this Masechta, a mavui sasam and a mavui mefulash. Mavui sasam means that it's a closed mavui. It means that there are three walls that are surrounding the mavui, and the fourth is opening up into a rishas rabim. This is what's called a mavui sasam. And the correction of the mavui sasam, as we've discussed since the beginning of this Masechta, either is a lechi or kora. Good. And then there's what's called a mavui mefulash. Mavui mefulash means that it is a mavui, but open on two opposing sides. So that means to say that it goes all the way through. What's on one side of the mavui and what's on the other side of the mavui? So presumably a rishos harabim. We're going to make that point clear as we go on later on in the daf, but there's a rishos harabim on one side, a rishos harabim on the other side, and the alleyway now goes all the way through. In terms of the correction of the mavui mefulash, how it gets corrected, so stay tuned because that's coming up also later on in today's daf as well. But in the meantime, however, when I have a mavui sasam, the correction is either lechi or korah. When I have mavui mefulash, the correction is going to be a much greater correction, meaning in order to be able to carry within such a mavui, so I need to put in a lot more. I will right now leave it as a somewhat nondescript in terms of what exactly needs to be done, because I know later on in the daf, it's going to come up what exactly needs to be done, and it also happens to be that I know it's a machlokas. So we will wait just a little bit in terms of how to correct a mavui mefulash, but suffice to say right now that it needs more correction. With that stated, so the Gemara over here now is talking about an L-shaped mavui, where they both ends are going out into the Rishos HaRabim, but it's not a straight line going through. In other words, it is making a 90-degree turn. And so basically, if you're looking at this mavui, and I'm assuming right now that you're looking at the same mavui that I am, you can see the schematic in Rashi, there are really, in principle, I mean, what I'm doing right now is just giving a conceptualization, and we're going to see the Gemara in just a second, but there are really two different ways to look at it. One way to look at it is that it's a mavui mefulash, meaning it goes all the way through. The fact that it makes a left-hand turn or a right-hand turn, depending on which end you're coming in, the fact that you're making a 90-degree turn, so what? In other words, it goes from one Rishos HaRabim into another Rishos HaRabim. It just happens not to go all the way through. That's one way to look at it. Or to say it a little bit more conceptually, this 90-degree mavui is really just one mavui with two ends to it, both going out to the Rishos HaRabim. The other way to look at it is that, no, really what we have over here is a mavui sasam. Or, again, conceptually, we could simply say that we have over here two mavuis that happen to back up one into the other. In other words, the one opens up to the Rishos HaRabim and then has a dead end. It also happens to have an opening as you get to the end that opens up into another mavui. But the other way we could say it is that really there are two mavuis that just happen to back up one into the other. But each of the mavuis independently now are a mavui sasum, where as you get to the end, it happens to have an opening that allows you to go into another mavui, but really each one of them is its own separate mavui. They're two separate mavuis. So conceptually, you could simply say either it's one long mavui with a 90-degree turn, or it's two separate mavuis backing up one into the other. With that stated, now we're going to have a I would say, an easier time understanding the two positions in the Gemara. Let's see the Gemara inside. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak Kavasi the Rav Huna Mistaber. Now, remember, the whole reason why we're bringing this in is because we want to support Rav Huna. So in of itself, it makes for an interesting discussion, but in the context of the Gemara, we're using this now to support Rav Huna, so all this will be clarified as we go through the Shitas. Deitmar, Mavui Akum, when I have to spend Mavui, the 90-degree Mavui, Rav Amar Tarasuk Mefulash, Rav says, the way to view it is as a Mavui Mefulash. And that means to say that we're going to have to make a major adjustment in order to fix it. Now, what exactly is that major adjustment going to be? So it's going to be a Tzursa Pesach on one end, and it's going to be a Lechi or Kor on the other end. Exactly how to put up the Tzursa Pesach, you could see Rashi, where Rashi himself is going to give two positions in terms of how the Tzursa Pesach is going to be put on. Is it either going to be put on the outside end, or is it going to put on at the bend, at the actual 90-degree turn? So Rashi brings down two positions, and again, it's important, but for our purposes right now, let's just look at it from the larger picture, which is that Rav views it as a extended, lengthy mavui, going from end to end. Ushmul amar tarasuk esasam. And Shmuel says no, that the way to view it is as a mavui sasam, meaning it's two mavuis that basically back up one into another. But you don't need this major correction because each mavui by itself is considered a closed mavui. And so that means to say that the only thing that I need in terms of correction is just simply elechi okora on the end of each of the mavuis. Now, with that stated, let's get a little more clarification about what the actual case is. Bimai askinan. What are we dealing with over here? Meaning the width of the mavui, each of the mavuis, how wide are they? Ilema biyosami aser, if you think that the mavui is greater than 10 amos, so bahalema shmul tarasuk sasam, it can't possibly be that Shmuel would say that such a mavui would be considered a mavui sasam if the opening at the end of one mavui, going into the other mavui, exceeds 10 amos. Clearly then, we are talking about a mavui that is open on both sides, both on the front end and the back end as well. So it can't be talking about where the opening is greater than 10 amos. Ella, lavkasser. So it must be that the opening, or the width of each mavui, is narrower than 10 amos. Now, with that stated, v'kama rav terasuk mefulash. Rav is of the opinion that it's going to be treated like a mavui mefulash. Ama pirtzas mavui mitzido ba'arba. So you see over here what? We have a mavui. Let's start at the opening of one of the mavuis. Let's walk our way through, according to Rav. So according to Rav, we're assuming now that the width of each mavui is less than 10 amos. Fine. So now as I make it my way to the end of the mavui, so I'm going to get now to the end, and there's going to be an opening on either left-hand side or right-hand side, whichever way you're walking in, doesn't matter, but there's going to be an opening. And we're going to assume that the opening going into the other mavui is less than 10 amos. Now, according to Rav, what could we say? We could just simply say that that's a Pesach. Rav says, no, we're not going to call it a Pesach, but rather what we're going to do is we're going to call it now an opening into another mavui, meaning it's a mavui mefulash, even though the opening is less than 10 amos. If it's less than 10 amos, what you could have said is that's just simply a Pesach. By virtue of the fact that Rav is calling this a mavui mefulash, it means now that this in of itself is going to be judged as a pirtza. This is not a Pesach, but rather a breach in the mavui. And it happens that the breach goes into another mavui, and that mavui goes into another Rishas Rabim, and therefore it's treated like a mavui mefulash. But the point of all this is that showing us that according to Rav, it is not a Pesach, but rather a pirtza. And you see over here, this supports the idea of Rav Huna, that for Rav, the only way the breach is going to be viewed as something that does not affect the validity of the mavui is only when it is less than four tefachim. Anything greater than four tefachim is no longer, is now considered a pirtza in the mavui. So what the Gemara now has done is that has really supported this idea that according to Rav, the pirtza of anything greater than four tefachim is already considered a pirtza. This is all going to be a support for Rav Huna. What would Rav Hanan say? The Gemara defends Rav Hanan. Rav Hanan barava shani hasam. So he would say that that's different to kabake b'rabim, because let's take the following into consideration. When you're looking at this mavui yakum, when you're looking at this bent mavui, so both are opening up into Rishas Rabim. So basically what you have over here is traffic. So when I'm looking at an opening at the end of the mavui and also recognizing the traffic pattern, so under those circumstances, I can't simply say it's a Pesach. I have to view it as a breach. That would be in that particular situation, but specifically in that situation because of the traffic pattern. However, if we're talking about just a standard mavui, and it happens to be that there's an opening of the mavui, but it is not allowing traffic to go through, it just happens to be that there's an opening on the mavui, so then what Rav Chanan will tell you is that in such a circumstance, Rav would be of the position that that's not a pirsa, but rather that's a pesach. And the case of mavui akum is different because of the traffic pattern. This is all a defense of Rav Chanan. So mechlal, so that Gemara says, okay, so the implication would be, is the Rav Huna Savar Afagav de lo bakei b'rabim. So that means to say now that you're telling me that according to Rav Huna, the idea that anytime the breach is exceeding four tefachim, even though there's no traffic over there, nevertheless, it's going to be considered a pirtza. And the Gemara says, okay, but now I'm going to get stuck between what we learned in today's daf versus yesterday's daf. So, Maishnam b'Rabbi Amiv Ravasi. So, remember in yesterday's daf, we had, according to Rav Amin Ravasi, the scenario in which I have a mavui, it is a perfectly fit mavui, and as we now get to the entrance of the mavui, so you have good walls, and let's put it like this. You have four tefachim of good walls going all the way to the entrance of the mavui, and then what you had is a breach on the side of the mavui. And what we learned, b'shem, Rav Amin, Rav Asi, in yesterday's daf, is that if that breach goes, as long as that breach is not exceed 10 amos, so then it's simply a pesach and it would be good. And the Gemara is assuming right now is that nobody argues on Ravi Amin, Rav Asi. Although, truthfully, in yesterday's daf, the Gemara for a moment proposed that maybe it is subject to a debate, but the Gemara says, no, it's not subject to a debate. Everyone agrees to that. So once everyone agrees to that, so the Gemara says, so now I'm really stuck. Because now I've just learned in today's daf that according to Rav, even without a traffic pattern, even without traffic going through, as long as there is a breach of anything greater than four tefachim, that is going to disqualify the mavui. And you cannot correct that mavui. And meanwhile, in yesterday's daf, Rav Amin Ravasi said that if I have a breach on the side, as long as you have a good wall going to the end of the mavui, to the entrance of the mavui, so then a breach on the side, up to 10 amos, would be acceptable, would be fine. What's the difference between the case of Rav Amin Ravasi in yesterday's daf versus what we learned in today's daf, at least according to Rav? So the Gemara's response is, Hasam de'ika gedude, hacha de'leka gedude. So the Gemara says they're still different than one another in the following. In yesterday's discussion with Rabbi Ami and Ravasi, so there was a breach, and it was a significant breach. But however, there still is a remnant of the wall remaining. Meaning, the Gemara describes it over here as gedude. Gedude just simply means that there's an embankment on the bottom of the wall. Rashi describes it, Hasam de'ika gedude, shenishtarim min hakosel, biyasod gimel odalet fachim gova al kol pnei hapirtza. So on the bottom of the wall, there's still left over. Rashi describes it as three or four tefachim. Most probably Rashi uses that number because it's no longer less than three tefachim. If it's less than three tefachim, it's lavud. Rashi doesn't say that, but that's probably what Rashi means. Anyway, the point is that there's still remnants of the wall. And Rashi writes over here, and this is the critical part of this discussion, she'ina noche la'avor ba. It's going to make it more challenging to get over that area. Now, it's not that hard to step over if it's only three tefachim, but still, it makes it more of a challenge. So, in yesterday's daf, now what the Gemara is clarifying is that when Rav Amin, Rav Asi say that up to ten amos, it is not going to disqualify the mavui, that, as the Gemara explains now, is talking about where there's still some remnant of the wall, and passage between going from one side to the other is going to be not impossible, but certainly more challenging. On the other hand, over here, when we're talking about where anything above four tefachim is going to be considered a pirsa, not a pesach, that's talking about where the wall is gone in its entirety. And therefore, passage from one point to another would be totally uninhibited. And that's why, in our case over here, Rav says it's different, and even a breach of anything greater than four tefachim is going to, in fact, disqualify the mavui and make it no longer eligible for a tikkun. The Gemara says it's the difference between the two cases. We continue in the Gemara. We are now on Vav Amud Aleph. We're towards the bottom of the Amud. We're starting with the words Tanur Rabbanan, six lines from the bottom. And we are going to be embarking on a very fundamental discussion. But before we do so a quick recap up until now. Up until now, we talked about a pirtza in the wall of a mavui. And we had a major machlokas amongst the Amoraim, exactly what kind of pirtza is going to disqualify the mavui and make it no longer eligible for a tikkun of Lachi Okora. So according to Rav Chanan, if you have anything up to a 10 amos, is a pesach, not a pirtza. That's true on the side, that's true on the front as well. It's true that according to Rav Chanan, something in the corner would invalidate the mavui, but that's specifically in the corner, where if it's greater than four tefachim, it's going to be invalidated. But that's only because people generally don't make an entrance in the corner. Rav Huna's, on the other hand, is of the opinion that anything above four tefachim, anywhere within the mavui, is going to disqualify the mavui. And then it's just a question of supporting Rav Huna. The Gemara tried to support Rav Huna based on the halacha Rav. The Gemara says maybe, perhaps that can be supportable. And what about the fact that in yesterday's daf we learned that according to Rav Ami and Rav Asi, anything greater than 10 amos is going to be disqualification, meaning anything less than 10 amos is not going to disqualify, and that is radically different than Rav. And the Gemara is assuming is that Rav is not arguing on Rav Ami and Rav Asi. So the Gemara made a distinction between yesterday's Gemara and today's Gemara. Yesterday's Gemara, there's still a remnant of the wall. Today's Gemara, there's no remnant of the wall. Okay. Ad Kan, that takes us to the end of the first half of today's daf. We move on to part two of today's daf. It's still related, and that is Tanur Rabbanan. We're going to start with a brisa. Ketzad Ma'arvin Derech Rishos HaRabim. How do you make an Erev for a Rishos HaRabim? Now, it sounds like what the Gemara is suggesting right now is that if I have a bona fide Rishos HaRabim, it's still possible to somehow adjust, correct the area in order to be allowed to carry in that area. That is extraordinarily difficult. The Gemara will note so a little bit later on. Once you have something that defines itself as a Rishos HaRabim, you simply cannot convert it into an area where you can carry, period. And so what we're going to do is that we're going to sharpen our understanding of the beginning of the Braisa a little bit later on. In the meantime, however, it is certainly interesting to see Rashi over here as Rashi describes what is a Rishos HaRabim. Rashi, towards the bottom, Dibra Amaskel Rishos HaRabim writes, I'm reading the Rashi, Mashma, Rachav Sheshesrei Amo. So Rashi says that in order for a Rishos HaRabim to be a Rishos HaRabim, it must have the following criteria. Number one, it has to be 16 amos wide. Rashi continues, V'ir Shemitsuyim Ba, Shishim Ribu, it also has to have a population of 600,000 people. V'ein Ba Choma. Additionally, says Rashi, it does not have to have a wall. It cannot have a wall. Shehaya Rishos HaRabim Shalat Mechuvan Mishar Lishar. Shiyim Mufulash, says Rashi, also has to go directly through the city. And Rashi says, and all this comes from the way that the Rishos HaRabim was configured in the desert. As we were traveling through the desert, so you had exactly this configuration that we're describing right now, both in terms of the width of the road, in terms of the idea that it goes from end to end, the idea that there's 600,000 people. So all this is learned out from Digla HaMidbar. The most interesting thing of Rashi, there are a number of interesting things within this Rashi, but certainly the most interesting thing is Rashi's description of a population, meaning that a part of the definition of Rishos HaRabim is there has to be a base number population within the city. Why is this so interesting? Because the Gemara never makes this point. Throughout Shas, whenever the Gemara talks about a Rishos HaRabim, so the Gemara does talk about configuration in terms of the width of the road. The Gemara does talk about has to go from one end to the other and has to go straight through, but the Gemara never makes mention of the population. This is an idea that Rashi expresses. Certainly, you could read it into a Gemara, not today's daf, but you could read it into other Gemaras, but it never explicitly says so in other Gemaras. It happens to be that Rashi repeats this point no less, than two more times in today's daf, that you need 600,000. So it's fair to say that Rashi says that for a Rishos HaRabim to have the qualification of a Rishos HaRabim, you need a base minimum of 600,000. So interesting point number one is that the Gemara itself never makes mention of this, and assuming that this is an accepted position, let's understand, this represents a tremendous kula, it's a tremendous leniency, because that means to say that even if the road itself looks like a Rishos HaRabim, is configured like a Rishos HaRabim, but if I don't have the 600,000 minimum, so then it is not a Rishos HaRabim min HaTorah, according to Rashi. There are a lot of details within the 600,000 that Rashi himself does not address, but it definitely needs to be addressed, and now is not the time to do so, but just to touch on some of the other issues, and that is when we're discussing 600,000, are we talking about the population? Are we talking about the people making usage of the actual road itself? When we're talking about it, are we talking about 600,000 that is actually traveling on a daily basis? Are we talking about 600,000 that go there over the course of a certain amount of time? So there's a lot of details over here in this number, but just right now I'm highlighting the idea that Rashi is stating this, and it was never clearly stated in the Gemara. Is this position accepted la halacha? So that is also subject to a major debate. Now is not the time to really discuss with any kind of detail, but it is a major debate whether this position is in fact going to be one that is accepted la halacha. Anyway, let's go back to the Gemara, because We are now in the middle of discussing how does one adjust the Rishos HaRabim. And again, right now, I'm working with the Gemara's Havamina. We will see in just a moment, the Gemara eventually will acknowledge that you can't adjust an actual Rishos HaRabim. But in the meantime, however, let's follow along in the Braisa. So, Ketz HaMarv and Derech Rishos HaRabim, Moset Tzuras HaPesach Mikan, V'lech HaVikar Mikan. So what I'll do is on one side I'll make a Tzuras HaPesach, which is the frame of a door, both the post and the lintel on top. And also on the other side, I'll put a lechi v'kora, lechi or a kora on the other side, and that is how it'll get adjusted. Chananya Omer, now according to Chananya, he says, it's a machlokes between Beishamai and Beisila. And Beishamai Omer Mosim Dalas Mekan V'Dalas Mekan. So according to Beishamai, you have to put a door on one side and a door on the other side. Ukashi Yotze V'Nechnas Noel. And when you go in and out, you're going to need to close the door. So in other words, the doors have to generally be in a closed position. And according to Chananya, on one side you're going to put a door, and on the other side you're going to put either a lechi or a kora, and that is how you're going to adjust it. Okay, so in the Braisa we have over here, I'm going to call it two positions. There really are three, but just in terms of the halacha, there are two positions. The Tanakama says it's adjusted with its source of Pesach on one side and Lachi Kar on the other. And according to Hananya's version of Beis Hillel, a door on one side and a Lechi Vikara, Lechi or Akara on the other side. Now, on this, the Gemara immediately just kind of does a double take on what was just proposed. And that is that if I have a bona fide Rishos HaRabim, so it can be adjusted. The Gemara says, what are you talking about? Rishos HaRabim mi ma'arva. You can't adjust an actual Rishos HaRabim. That time, we'll enter the Braisa. Yes, so okay, I'm a Rav Yehuda. And we're going to look at the conversation that takes place between the Chachamim and Rav Yehuda, and moreover. Now, moreover means that there was a discussion already had, and they're making an additional point as well. You can see Rashi on the bottom of the Amud. I'm going to read the Rashi. Yes, I'm Khan. La'el mine aribe bibona aliyah mi bayis labayis. So the previous discussion between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim were discussing some sort of structure that was built from one out to the other. Shebishnei tzidei Rishos HaRabim. Now the houses happen to have been facing each other, and between the two houses is a Rishos HaRabim. V'chein gishar mamufulashim l'Rishos HaRabim. Rashi says the same thing could be true regarding a bridge that goes over Rishos HaRabim. D'sher Rav Yehuda totule tusei. Now Rav Yehuda is of the position that I can carry underneath the bridge. Mishum pitikra yor v'sosim based on a principle, which is that the edge of the bridge actually comes down and creates a halachic wall. So now, when you're under the bridge, you're actually surrounded by four walls. Two actual, two halachic. The two actual walls are going to be the two sides of the bridge, and the halachic walls are going to be the each edge of the bridge making its way down halachically through the mechanism of pitikra yor v'sosim. And we're going to see this later in the Masechta. And that is point number one of Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says, I'll even go one point further, and that's the Yeser Al-Kain. That's what we're picking it up right now in the Gemara, and that is in addition to that. What is in addition to that? Yeser Al-Kain Amar Rav Yehuda. Now we turn to the top of the Amud Beis. Mishayilo Shnei Batim Mishnei Tzid Rishos HaRabim. Rav Yehuda says, look, we'll have two houses or two buildings on opposite sides of the Rishos HaRabim looking at one another. Ose Lechi Mikan. I'll make a lechi on one side and a lechi on the other side, or a horizontal beam on one and a horizontal beam on the other side. And you can go ahead and you can carry in the middle. Now, the Shita of Rav Yehuda is working with the following assumptions, and that is that Rav Yehuda holds that in order to create a Rishos Yachid, I only need two walls. Only two walls. And here you happen to have it, because the two buildings are facing one another, the buildings themselves are walls, and so therefore the area circumscribed within the building is considered, according to Rav Yehuda, a Rishos Yachid. Now, it's a little bit tricky because now, does Rishos HaYachid end and where does Rishos HaRabim begin? So that's why you need the Lachi and Korah on each side in order to simply demarcate where the Rishos HaYachid ends and where the Rishos HaRabim begins. Good. This is all the Shita of Rav Yehuda. Amru Lo, and here we get to the part that is critical to our discussion. And the Chachamim said to Rav Yehuda, "Marvin Rishos HaRabim b'kach. What are you talking about? It's a Rishos HaRabim. Once it's a Rishos HaRabim, you can't adjust a Rishos HaRabim." Meaning that the Chachamim said to Rav Yehuda, two walls do not make up a Rishos HaYachid. Three walls make up a Rishos HaYachid. Or four walls make up a Rishos HaYachid. But what you're looking at over here is a bona fide Rishos HaRabim. Once it's a bona fide Rishos HaRabim, so you simply cannot convert it into an enclosed area or into an area that one is allowed to carry. So you see over here that once you have a bona fide Rishos HaRabim, you can't carry within that area. No adjustment whatsoever would allow you to carry in that area. Now, V'chitem in the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. So bekachu d'olam arve habedlasos marve. Well, maybe what you can argue is that the chachamim's reluctance to accept the position of Rav Yehuda is because what is Rav Yehuda putting on the sides of this open street? He's a lechi and korah on each of the sides, a lechi or a korah on each of the sides. And maybe what the chachamim are objecting to is you got to put more on. But they're not objecting to the basic idea that you could fix it. It's just a question of how to fix it. But the Gemara says, but that's not true. In other words, we know that's patently not true. V'hamar Rava bar Bar Chana, amar Rav Yochanan. The Gemara has a tradition. It said over in the name of Rav Yochanan, Malay Dalsal Seha, Nin Alos Balayla. Yerushalayim. For as for the city of Yerushalayim, had it been, not been that they have doors that are closed on a nightly basis, so Yerushalayim would be a Rishus Harabim. And the Amar Ula, and on top of that, we also have a tradition, Hani Abula de Mechuza, as far as the streets of Mechuza are concerned, Ilmale de also same Nanalos, had it not been for the fact that the doors are closed, and again, we're going to be assuming on a nightly basis, Chayav Nalam Mishum Rishos Rabim. So it will be a Rishos Rabim. So you see that a Rishos Rabim is not going to lose its status of the Rishos Rabim until it is not only have actual physical doors on the ends of the Rishos Rabim, but they are closed at both ends. So you see that once you have a bona fide Rishos Rabim, so no Lechi, no Korah, not even open doors are going to be sufficient. You have to have closed doors on both ends in order for it to lose the status of Rishos Rabim. What comes out over here is the idea that our initial understanding of the Braisa cannot possibly be, because the Braisa says that when I have a Rishos Rabim, here's how we're going to adjust it. What do you mean, here's how you're going to adjust it? You can't adjust the Rishos HaRabim, and in order for Rishos HaRabim to lose its status of Rishos HaRabim, you need physical, closed doors on each side. Then and only then is it lose its status like a Rishos HaRabim, like we saw regarding Yerushalayim, and like we saw, like the streets of Mechuza. And by the way, Rashi over here writes that Yerushalayim and the streets of Mechuza had 600,000. So again, like I mentioned earlier, Rashi is really set on this idea that the definition of Rishos HaRabim is that it has 600,000. So Amar Rav Yehuda Achi Kamar, so Rav Yehuda says, okay, when going back to the beginning of the Braisa, we're going to have to say now the following pshat, and that is, Ketzem Arvin, Mevu'ozim, Mefalosim, Rishos HaRabim. So what we're describing over here is not the actual Rishos HaRabim itself, because as we stated, it cannot be adjusted unless you have actual physical doors closed on both sides. Over here, what I have is I have a Rishos HaRabim running parallel to one another, meaning two Rishos HaRabims running parallel. And what do I have is I have a road connecting the two. The road connecting the two in of itself is not a Rishos HaRabim. However, it is a Mavui Mefulash. It is a Mavui opening up to the two Rishos HaRabims. And how does that get corrected? So here's the Machlokas. So Oset Surah Sapesach Mikan, Velech Vikar Mikan. And now we have all the positions. Now, the Gemara doesn't go through all the positions, meaning, but just to quickly recap, now we have the position of the Tanakama, Lechi or Korah on one side, Sorosa Pesach on the other side. According to Hananya, according to Beis Hillel, you need an actual doorway on one side and a Lechi and Korah on the other side. Okay, so that is the understanding of the Braisa. So as far as the Rishos HaRabim is concerned, no, you cannot adjust a Rishos HaRabim. You need actual doors closed on both ends, meaning basically you have to, it can no longer serve as a road, as a highway. But the only thing the Braisa was talking about is where I have a Mavui Mefulash between two Rishus HaRabim. Itmar, we continue now in the Gemara, and that is Rav Amar Hilchasa Katana Kamu Shmuel Amar Halachi Kechananya. Now, vis-a-vis the position of the Mavui Mefulash, which position do we accept? So Machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. Rav says we follow the Tanakhama, which means that you only need to put a Lechi and Korah on one side, a Tzuras HaPesach on the other side, and now our Mavui Mefulash has been adjusted and you can carry within it. And according to Shita of Shmuel, Shmuel says that we follow like Hananya, which means a door on one side and a Lechi and Korah on the other side. Now, Ibai Luhu, another Gemara has a follow-up question, Lechananya, Liba de Beis Hillel. So, Chananya, according to Beis Hillel, Tzarech Linol, Ain't Tzarech Linol, does the door have to be closed, does the door not have to be closed? Meaning that we know that Shitas Beis Shammai, as recorded in the Braisa, says that the door has to be closed. We know that Beis Hillel is more makel. And the Gemara's question now is as follows. Is Beis Hillel more makel in that either, unlike Beis Shammai, he said that you need two doors on each side, of the Mavui Mefulash. So is Beis Hillel just simply saying I only need one door on one side and a Lechem Kor on the other side, but the door has to be closed? Or maybe no. Maybe what Beis Hillel is saying is that you can even be more makel, meaning I do need a door on one side, but that door doesn't have to be closed. That's the Gemara's question. Tashma, the Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Eino Tzarech Lino, V'chein Amar Rav Masna, Amar Shmuel, Eino Tzarech Lino. So the Gemara quotes B'Shem Shmuel. The Gemara quotes also B'Shem Shmuel, right? Two Amarayim, both quoting in B'Shem Shmuel, that the doors do not need to be closed. It's sufficient that on our Mavui Mefulash, I just simply have a door on one side, even though the door is open. So the Gemara says, Ikadami, now in another version, Amar Rav Masna, B'didi Ava Uvda, I actually had an incident where we used the door in order to adjust for Amar Shmuel and Tzarech Lino, and I got a direct psak from Shmuel that it did not need adjustment. Now, so the question was asked by Rav Anan, does the door have to be closed or not? In other words, it must have been another discussion, even though over here, exact same topic. So so he says, okay, let's take a look at the city of Narda, and specifically the gates of Narda, the Timon Apagai Ba'afra. They were halfway in the ground. Basically, they didn't open, they didn't close, they were basically sunk into the ground. Now, they were in some sort of partially open state. The Isle of Anafik Mar Shmuel. Now, many times Shmuel went through the city. V'lamilu v'lamidi and Shmuel didn't do anything. So that means to say that Shmuel allowed the doors to be open. And so you see over here, now we don't know the Shmuel, we don't know what Shmuel's position was, but presumably from his silence, we arrive at the conclusion that he was totally comfortable with the idea that the doors were open and that would be fine. So Amar Rav Kahana, Hana Megufa Savai. Rav Kahana says, no, take a closer look at those doors. Now, take a closer look. We're not going to see the doors, but in other words, if you saw the doors, you will saw that the doors were partially open. You actually saw that the doors were also partially closed. And the reason why Shmuel didn't say anything is because he felt that the doors really do need to be closed, but the fact that they were partially closed is going to be sufficient, and that's why nothing needed to be done to those doors. But in principle, the doors do need to be closed. I say doors, by the way. In other words, we're assuming like Beis Hillel that only need one doorway, but still that one doorway needs to be closed. And in Shmuel's particular circumstance, they were closed partially, and that was enough. Ki also Rav Nachman Amar Panuya Lafrayhu. Rav Nachman came to the city of Narda, and Rav Nachman said, you got to remove the dirt, meaning those doors got to be closed. Now, Lema Kasev Rav Nachman Sarachlin also, it sounds like Rav Nachman's of the opinion that in order for the door to work and to serve as a way of correcting the Mavui Mefulash, it actually has to be closed. The Gemara says, no, not necessarily. Kaven deruyus linhol, afa pisha in ninalos. No, as long as they're fit to be closed, that's enough. And you don't have to actually close the doors, they just have to be ra'i. How Mavui Akum Dahava Minarada? And now we're going to be finishing up today's daf with the following, and that is we're describing a Mavui Akum that was in the town of Narda. Rashi writes over here that this Mavui Akum was actually a little bit different than what we discussed in the beginning of today's daf. We discussed an L-shaped Mavui. This is a U-shaped Mavui. So it had two turns in it. Okay, but still. It's basically the same question that we asked earlier. And that is, do we view this as one long Mavui that basically goes all the way through, or is it just simply two mavuis over here, maybe three, but two mavuis that they're just simply linked one to another. So anyway, so we already saw this earlier. It's a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel, and so Rami alay chomer de Rav chomer de Shmuel. So the Rabbanim of Narda said, okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to be machmer, and on top of that, we're also going to be machmer. We're going to be machmer like Rav, we're going to be machmer like Shmuel, v'atzrichin l'delasos. So they required doors. Now, they required doors presumably on both sides of the bend. Now, if you ask Rav or if you ask Shmuel, each one of them by themselves, they wouldn't necessarily agree with one another. Neither of them would require this. Now, chumer de Rav, the Gemara goes on to explain. Well, let's start off with the position of Rav. Now, Rav is of the opinion that a bent mavui is the same as a mavui mefulash that we already said at the beginning of the daf today. So the Gemara says that's true. But we also know that even if it's a mavui mefulash, how do you correct a mavui mefulash? So we know that Rav said possibly like the Tanakama. Tanakama says it only needs a tzurusa pesach on one side and a lechi on the other side. And so if you ask Rav, what is it? He'd say, Mavui Mefulash. Then you follow up with, and what do you need to do? He says, oh, Tzurusa Pesach and Lechi, and that's all you need to do. So the Chachamim of Narda were not following Rav consistently. And then Kishmuel, now if you ask Shmuel, so Damar Halacha Kechananya, now it's true that Shmuel says the halacha is like a chananya, that if I have a mavui mefulash, the correction of the mavui mefulash, the adjustment of the mavui mefulash is to put a lechi kor on one side and a delis on the other side. All that's true. V'amar Shmuel terasu kisosim. But if you ask Shmuel, how do you view a bent mavui? So he'll tell you, oh, that's not a mavui mefulash, it's a mavui sosim. Now that's a mavui sosim, so then you don't need that kind of adjustment. All you need is either a lechi or a korra. So the Gemara says karav. So he's passing like the rav. Damar terasu kimefulash. So he says, in that regard, they're passing like Rav, that the mavu is going to be treated like a mavu mefulash. And so the Chacham of Nahardah, so what did they do? So they took chumers. They took a chumer of Rav and they took a chumer of Shmuel, which got us to the point where chumer of Rav, we're going to view it like a mavu mefulash. Chumer of Shmuel, how do you adjust a mavu mefulash? You do so with a lechi on one side and an actual dels on the other side. And the Gemara, we'll just start the Gemara right now, but we'll pick it up tomorrow. And that is, how can you do that? How can you paskin like multiple chomers? So, mi avdina betray chomrei. The Gemara says, you're not allowed to do that. V'atayim, we learned in a braisa. La'olam halacha kebeisila. The halacha vasik like beisila. V'aratzila asos kedivrei beishamay osin. Now, if you want to follow like beishamay, you could do so. Kedivrei beisila osin. Now, if you want to follow like beisila, you could do that as well. Tomorrow, the Gemara is going to ask the obvious question. The braisa seems to be not following one consistent viewpoint. We'll come back to that tomorrow. Anyway, Mikule Beishamah and Mikule Beisilo Rasha. Now, if all you're doing is just going to follow the kulas of both Beishamah and Beisilo, so the Braisa here is very strong language, and that is that such an individual is called a Rasha. Ke Chumre Beishamah u Mechumre Beisilo. If you follow the Chumres of both, so you are Alava Kasav Omer. You could basically apply the following pasuk, which is Haksil Bechosha Cholech. The person's walking in, he's a fool walking in the darkness. So Ella okay Beit Shammai Bekulaim Uke Chumrehem. Either you're gonna follow Beit Shammai like the Kulz and Chumras, okay Beis Hillel Mikulehem Uke Chumrehem. So or you're gonna follow like Beis Hillel, either the Kulz or the Chumras. And so the Gemara wants to know, how can the Chachamim of Narda follow both the Chumr of Rav and the Chumr of Shmuel? And that the Braisa says is something that you're not allowed to do. So there's a lot that we need to do just to wrap up, which obviously we'll leave over tomorrow. Understanding the Braisa of itself, answering up for the Chacham of Nahardah. So there's still a lot left over from today's daf, but this is a good place to stop. And tomorrow we'll pick it up. In the meantime, however, gives us a wonderful opportunity to review today's daf. So vis-a-vis, the first thing that we discussed today was the Pirtza within the Mavui. When is a Pirtza in the Mavui going to make the Mavui now unadjustable? So a machlokus between the Amoraim. Rav Chanan says that anything up to 10 amos, it's viewed as a Pesach, but anything less than 10 amos is a Pesach, anything greater than 10 amos is a Pirtza. With notable exception to the corners of the Mavui were there, anything above 4 Tfachim is going to be a Pirtza, because people don't make entrances in the corners. And I showed you the Tosos, the short Tosos, about what if I made it Tzuras a Pesach in the corner. Then the Gemara noted that Rav Huna disagrees. Rav Huna says that any time you have a pirsa, a 4 tfachim in the mavui, so it now becomes an unadjustable mavui. This position, Rav Huna, is the Gemara tries to defend it. The Gemara tries to give support for it. Assuming that Rav Huna is right, how is that different than the positions of Ravi Ami and Rav Asi from yesterday's daf? The Gemara asked that question. The Gemara gave a distinction between yesterday's daf and today's daf. Second part of today's daf was regarding the adjustment of a mavui mefulash. The first way the Braisa presented it, it sounded like we're talking about adjusting an actual Rosh Hasharabim, but the Gemara immediately said that can't be. If it's an actual Rosh Hasharabim, it cannot get adjusted. Now, even as I say that, the Gemara acknowledges there is a way to adjust it, but it means to say that in order to adjust an actual Rosh Hasharabim, you're going to have to basically close the doors on both sides of the Rosh Hasharabim, meaning the Rosh Hasharabim is going through the entire city, actual make physical doors on each side. With those doors closed, then and only then, the Rosh Hasharabim loses the status of Rosh Hasharabim. Outside of that, it remains Rosh Hasharabim, and therefore it's unadjustable. What the Braisa is describing is when I have a Mavui Mefulash, sending me from one Rosh Hasharabim to another Rosh Hasharabim. So how does a Mavui Mefulash get adjusted? So in that regard, we have two basic shitas amongst the Tanaim. Really three, but I called it two. The first is the Tanakama, where on one side I'm going to put it Tzuras HaPesach, on the other side you're going to do either a lechi or a korah. According to Chananya and the Shita of Beis Hillel, you have to put a door on one side and a lechi korah on the other side. Within the Shita of Chananya, does that mean the door has to be open or closed?
subject to a debate, unclear in terms of the Gemara's conclusion. In terms of who does the halacha fall like, so machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. Rav says that the halacha is going to be the more stricter view, in that we fall like the Tanakama. Sorry, Rav holds like the more lenient view that like the Tanakama, where you only need a source of Pesach on one side and a lechem kor on the other. Shmuel, on the other hand, takes a more strict view and says that no, you need a delis on one side and a lechem kor on the other side. Within these positions in Rav and Shmuel, the Gemara noted the town of Narda. The town of Narda had a mavui mafulash, although debatable, because it was akum, it was bent. Rashi described it as a U-shape. It had two bends in it. But anyway, it was bent. So the Chachamim Narda put a delis and a lechi and a korah in order to adjust it. The Gemara's question is, how did the Chachamim Narda do that? Because if you asked Rav, so on one hand, Rav is more makel, is more machmer regarding what is a mavui mafulash, but more makel in terms of how to adjust it. If you ask Shmuel, Shmuel would tell you it's not a mavui mafulash, it's a mavui sasam. It's true he would have been more machmer if it would have been a mavui mafulash, but he's of the opinion that it's a mavui sasam, not mavui mafulash. And so we'll leave it off over here, as the Gemara is going to discuss how the Chachamim Narda came to this psak, which is falling to chumras, which we just quoted a braisa saying that you're not allowed to follow to chumras. In fact, if you do so, you are, the Gemara described as a ksil, a fool. So the Gemara is going to discuss that, and we'll continue tomorrow.